بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمد عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام إنما الأعمال بالنية أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Today's lesson is lesson number 32 in our series Wisdom of Actions. Alhamdulillah, we have been discussing about the sources of Sharia. According to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, the sources of Sharia are four: Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, and Qiyas. Firstly, we have to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Sharia is perfect, easy, complete, simple, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidelines how to formulate laws and how the mujtahideen, they made laws from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from Ijma. And lastly, now we are discussing in simple terms what is Qiyas, the definition of Qiyas, examples of Qiyas, and fundamentals of Qiyas. This word Qiyas, originally when we started translating, we should translate this word Qiyas as logic. Then later stage we translated this word as reasoning. Then we translated this word as analogy. Then we translated this word as, alhamdulillah, our research improved and increased. Now we translate this word as shari and a logical reasoning. Because as we will proceed with trying to understand what is Qiyas, then alhamdulillah, it will dawn upon us that the closest we can come to translating this word Qiyas will be shari and a logical reasoning. What is the definition of Qiyas? To transcribe, that means to convert an original, the asal, original in Arabic we will call the asal ruling, something, some ruling which appears in the Quran or Hadith, into a subsidiary, furu ruling. Based on such a causative factor which is common between the asal and fara, the subsidiary, and is not found in common terminology. This is known as Qiyas. To simplify, that there is a ruling which we are taking from Quran, there is a ruling which we are getting from the Hadith. Now, we have to make another ruling. So we look at the causative factor in the Quran, and we look at the causative factor in the Hadith. After looking at the causative factor, then because of the common causative factor in the Quran, then the subsidiary ruling comes into action. Then the subsidiary ruling we can formulate and comes into existence. By way of example, we can understand. Example of qiyas, so that we can understand the definition of qiyas, and also we can understand the causative factor, which we call the illah, regarding the impermissibility of drinking alcohol. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Maidah, Ayat 90, indeed alcohol, gambling, ansab, and azlam, types of gambling, games of chance, are rich, are filth, from amongst the practices of shaitan. Hence abstain therefrom. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared alcohol, gambling, ansab, azlam as filth and as practices from shaitan. And fajtanibu, that you stay away from them. Now the mujtahideen have contemplated, deliberated, made discussions over the illat, causative factor of impermissibility of alcohol, and deduced it to be intoxication. So when the mujtahideen, when they looked at this Quranic ayat, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring alcohol and gambling and ansab azlam as haram, as filth, then the mujtahideen, they deliberated, they pondered, they discussed as to why Allah ta'ala made it haram, why Allah ta'ala made gambling haram, why Allah ta'ala made alcohol haram, why Allah ta'ala made these various types of chances haram. And when they looked at alcohol, why Allah ta'ala made alcohol haram? So they came to the conclusion that Allah ta'ala made alcohol haram because of the causative factor, the illat, being intoxication. The ruling regarding alcohol is found in both the Quran and Majid and Hadith. Now, what is the ruling regarding all the other intoxicants? Are they permissible or not permissible? After pondering, discussing, contemplating, the mujtahideen found the same causative factor of intoxication in other intoxicants as well. Hence, they have applied the same ruling of impermissibility to these items as well. Just as alcohol is not permissible, so too have they transcribed, they have transferred this ruling, which is also applicable to other intoxicants. In this example, alcohol is the original. Other intoxicants are subsidiary, fara. Impermissibility is the ruling, and the intoxication is the causative factor. So in this example here, we have got the asal, the subsidiary, the ruling, and the causative factor. So there are four things involved here. And in this particular example, alcohol is the original, that means the asal, and other intoxicants become the subsidiary, and the causative factor, the illat, is intoxication. And the ruling is hurmat. So the ruling of impermissibility, hurmat, was in the asal. That is why the same ruling of hurmat will now go away to the subsidiary. It is mentioned in a hadith. Second example, the murderer does not inherit in the estate of the murdered. After pondering and contemplation upon this hadith, the mujtahideen have deduced that the reason for the non-inheritance of the murderer is that he sought to facilitate his inheritance by committing murder, and this led him to his being deprived altogether. So when they started discussing and deliberating on this hadith here, then they came to the conclusion that why that person must not get inheritance, because he was facilitating the murder. Hence the ruling in the hadith is given based on the causative factor. And what is the causative factor in this case? An attempt at facilitating a thing before its due time. So the asal was murder, and the causative factor, attempt in facilitating a thing before its due time. So the mujtahideen have applied the same rule to the person who has been bequeathed something and he murders the one who made the bequest. Just as the inheritor is deprived of his inheritance owing to his committing murder, so too is qiyas made regarding the one who murders another who has bequeathed him or her something, that he too is deprived of receiving his bequeathed item. For example, if someone says that upon my death, then you can have 5 million rand. Now the person who was going to receive the money, he said, now how long am I going to wait for this person to die? So what he does, he commits the murder, he kills this person in order to inherit that 5 million. So the causative factor was facilitating a thing before its due time. Therefore, that person who committed that murder so that he gets that 5 million, he will not be getting that 5 million, because the asal was the murderer does not inherit. That's the asal. The furu will be all those causative factors when this rule will apply, that the person facilitated a thing before its due time. So in this example, the original, the asal is the inheritance of the murderer. The bequest of the one who made the bequest is the subsidiary. The causative factor, the illah, is seeking a thing before its due time. And the ruling is the deprivation of the murderer of that thing which he sought to facilitate. Now they are the fundamentals of qiyas. A fundamental, a rukn of a thing, is that integral part which the thing cannot exist without. Like the arkan, plural of rukn, of salat, qiyam, qirat. From the above discussion, it has been established that there are 4 fundamentals of qiyas. When we talk of a rukn, of a thing, for example, if you say tea, a cup of tea, there are certain things have to be there for that cup of tea to come into existence. They are the fundamentals of that. For example, tea bags or tea leaves have to be there in order for the tea to come into existence. Then there has to be some fluid, some liquid. That's the second rukun of tea. Whether that is made of milk, or pure milk, or only water, or water and milk combined, but there has to be some liquid, some fluid. So these two things are necessary, because they are in some countries where they do not use milk in their tea, green tea, etc., but there is the fluid, water. So the fluid can be water, can be milk. Now, that means for a cup of tea to come into existence, there have to be two integral constituent parts. That is the tea leaves, and secondly, the liquid, the fluid. In order for qiyas, there are four fundamentals, as we have seen the two examples cited. And what are those four fundamentals? That asal, that is the ruling which is mentioned in the Quran Majid or Hadith. In the examples that we have mentioned, and the first example was that Allah Ta'ala is saying alcohol is filth. And in the second example, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that the murderer will not inherit. Secondly, the far'a, the subsidiary ruling, the ruling of that thing which is not found in the Quran Majid or Hadith. So anything that intoxicates, the intoxication, any other item, for example, if you have any other item besides alcohol which intoxicates, so the ruling of intoxication, of hurmat at least, the ruling of hurmat which was on alcohol will now go on to the far'a, the subsidiary. The illat, the causative factor, intoxication in the first example, and that in the second example, to facilitate a thing before its due time. So the causative factor, that is the quality or the reason which in the opinion of the mujtahid is the cause for the asal ruling, and which is also found in the far'a. Fourthly, the ruling which is applicable to the asal, the ruling which is applicable to the original and which is now been applied to the subsidiary. So these four are the fundamentals of qiyas. Qiyas will not come into existence if these four fundamentals are not there. The asal, the far'a, the illat, and the hukam. The asal, the original. The far'a, the subsidiary. The illat, the causative factor. And the hukam, the ruling. So in any qiyas, in any Shari qiyas, these four factors, these four rukans, these four parts are essential to bring qiyas into existence. Qiyas will not come into existence if these four factors are not there. Now, qiyas, is it a Shari proof? Unfortunately, as we have keep mentioning, that there are groups and deviates who would like to defy deen and deny deen and reject deen. So they will try to deny qiyas. They'll say qiyas is not a Shari proof. The proofs for qiyas forming a part of Shariat is as follows. Number one, when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sending Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen. Then the following conversation took place between Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Maaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what will you do when you are faced with a dispute? Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, I will rule according to what is in the Kitab of Allah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, if it is not in the Kitab of Allah, Hazrat Maaz replied, then in the Sunnah of Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what if it is not in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, I will then make ijtihad in my opinion, and I will not be deficient therein. He says, Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck my chest, zarba ala sadri. It is slightly difficult to translate this, because zarba means to hit, but it does not mean to beat up. And for example, in our age, in every custom or in every culture and civilization, the people have got different methods of congratulating others. We generally use a term, pat on the shoulder. If someone does well, then you pat him on the shoulder. This is exactly this, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is patting him on the chest. That was their method of displaying happiness and joy and delight. That was a way of congratulating. So, very difficult to translate. We translated it sometimes as struck on the chest, tapped on the chest. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all praise be to Allah, who has guided the Rasul of the Rasul of Allah with that which the Rasul of Allah is pleased. Very interesting statement, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praising Allah Ta'ala with such beautiful words. He says, all praise due to Allah, who has guided the Rasul of the Rasul. Rasul, Hazrat Maaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of the Rasul of Allah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With that which the Rasul of Allah, that is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is pleased. Now, in retrospect, when we look at this, because this is one of the main arguments of the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat for the proof that Qiyas is a Shari proof. Every book of jurisprudence, whether it be in any language, will have this hadith, which is in Ahmad, Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, to substantiate that Qiyas is a proof in Shariat. And many books are written solely expounding on this hadith from various angles, that whether this hadith is authentic, is it reliable, and when it happened, why it happened, what was the causes for it happening, what was the age of Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he went out, and why it was Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu chosen. And this is the occasion when Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was riding, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking. And Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu was telling Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, let me come down. Because it was embarrassing for him to be riding out of Madinatul Munawwara, whilst Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu was riding and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking. And that is when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the famous statement that going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala and the dust that touches the body will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. And our Tabligh Jamaat brothers use this, but most of them do not know the occasion when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it. This was the occasion when he said it, that when he was sending out Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen as the governor and muallim. So what we learn from this, that to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala first of all is proven. Secondly, that this was the hidayat bayan, the guidance bayan. When jamaats go out, then the hidayat bayan is given. Especially we notice this in the jors, in the istimas, that hidayat bayan, guidance bayan is given out to those who are going out in the path of Allah. In reality, it's proven from here that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu a hidayat bayan on how to behave and what to do in Yemen. When he goes there, how he is going to adjudicate, how he is going to judge, how he is going to function as a governor and a muallim. Third thing that we learn, before I mention the third thing concerning taqleed, that this was the very same statement which Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Maaz, that to go out and the dust that touches you, the fire of Jahannam is haram for it. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, when he was sending off his governor, and this is recorded in Kitab al-Khiraj of Imam Yusuf rahmatullah alayh. Now, when Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala went to Yemen, then the people of Yemen, they were making taqleed. They were following who? They were following none other than Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So those who are ignorant and they say taqleed, to follow someone other than Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is shirk, bidat and kufr, and issue fatwas against those who make taqleed, they are completely erroneous and fallacious. Why? Because here Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu is being sent by none other than Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he knows fully well, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows fully well, that when Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu will go to Yemen, the people of Yemen are going to follow him. They are going to follow Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the lifetime of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all this is happening. So taqleed other than, following other than Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not shirk, is not kufr. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Quran al-Kareem, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu atiullah wa atiur rasul wa ulil amri minkum, and those in authority amongst you. So following those who are experts amongst you is not kufr or not shirk or not un-Islamic. Because if someone has to say to follow someone other than Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is shirk, then the entire population of Yemen who followed the rulings of Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then mazallah, they are committing or have committed shirk and passed away, or kufr and passed away. No. And in those days, obviously, there was no cell phones or internet or email that Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that while she got a difficulty in Yemen, he can just email or phone Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him that I've got this problem, what must I do? That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is educating and he is teaching Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu what to do in Yemen. Also from this event here, we gather a method of teaching, and this has been utilized by Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And I personally have experienced a teacher of ours, Alama Sayyid Palampuri, Damat Barakatuhum, who is the current Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul of Dioban. He, when we should visit him, he should utilize this method of teaching to us. The method here employed is an interactive method, that where the teacher questions the student and then there is a discussion, and via this discussion the education process is taken forward. What our respected Ustad should do, someone should pose a question, any student, then he should ask all those who are sitting there, that from amongst us, he should say, what do you say about it and what is your proof? What the other person says, what you say about it and what is your proof? And what do you say about the first person's proof? So you have to present your case, present your proof, and then the other person's proof, in a most respectful manner, you have to bring it down and you had to disprove it. And this was going on until finally he would assess all the proofs, all the arguments, and bring out a ruling. This is a very wonderful method of teaching and discussing. This is extremely healthy, and this should be done on every level, and it should be done intensively at the higher levels so that the brain is activated. Unfortunately, in our age, brains are meant to sleep via the TV, via the radio, via the newspaper. Every day we are being fed. We are fed by what we see on the TV, we are fed by what we hear on the radio, we are fed by what we read in the newspaper, and we are not allowed to interact and discuss it in an academic manner. That is why there is so much of ignorance prevalent. Inshallah, when we come back tomorrow or next week, we will discuss in lesson 33 about this hadith of Hazrat Maaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu going to Yemen. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.